Thank the Lord for the amazing grace that He offers, and it is amazing to you and I and those that would receive Him. What a wonderful message we have of salvation. If you would tonight, turn with me in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. The last few weeks on Wednesday night, we've been dealing with the invitations that the Lord gives to different folks. And tonight we will once again look at one of these passages that where the Lord uses the word to come. And tonight is a invitation to follow Him and to be what He would have us to be. Every Christian, a person that knows the Lord should be following Him, and it's an invitation to commitment. In Mark chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 16 and read down through verse number 20. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 20, the scripture reads, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him." Here in this passage of Scripture is also found in the Gospel of Matthew, and also in Luke, and a portion also in John. We find here that Jesus is calling some his disciples, and he's calling them to become fishers of men. This is the invitation of commitment, that we are to be committed unto the task that is before us, even though many times that task seems almost impossible and the troubles are insurmountable against us. But the Lord still tells us that we are to be fishers of men. And here we find this thing of commitment. Commitment is a strange word in which the day we live. Very few people are committed to anything. They start a work or they start something, but they're not committed to it, and so therefore it goes undone and is left unfinished. That happens in churches, that happens in homes, that happens in individuals' lives, just simply because there's no commitment of anything as far as sticking to a task that is put before us. We could go on and on about the thing of commitment in so many different areas. But tonight I want to deal with the commitment that we should make unto the Lord. The commitment that we should have because of what He has done for us. In this passage we will find a very interesting word. When the Lord comes and He finds these men, they are busy about the job that they had. You find there in verse number 16 that he comes by the Sea of Galilee and he sees Simon and Andrew, and also he finds John, the brother of James, who were the sons of Zebedee. So these men were busy about the task that their livelihood. They were all fishermen. They were mending their nets. They were getting ready for the next day. They were getting ready for the next time to go out and to bring in a haul of fish so that they could continue on with their life. But when the Lord sees them, he tells them and he asks them or tells them a statement here. He says, "Come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." That word "become" is an interesting word there. It's something that is in a progression that takes place in the life of an individual. And how true it is when we when we are first saved, we have very little knowledge about how to tell somebody else about the Lord, other than just the few things that we know of what the Lord has done for us. The word become shows that it's maybe a slow, long process that Jesus would do in their life, that they would become a fisher of men. No longer were they going to be interested in the sea. No longer were they going to be interested in their livelihood. The Lord has now separated them out and has called them that they would become fishers of men. And so this process will begin in their life, this process of becoming an individual that would be used of the Lord to bring other people unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And anytime you deal with people, anytime you deal with folks that have needs spiritually, there's always fears that are involved that would stop us. And I listed here four different fears that people have. All of us have experienced them when it comes to talking to someone else about the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be maybe the easiest subject that we could ever speak to someone about, but it becomes a difficult subject because of that inner fear that's in our life that is placed there, and really most of it is placed there by the devil himself to keep us from being faithful unto the Lord. There is a fear, first of all, of resentment, of arousing resentment in someone that you deal with, someone that you talk to, whether it be a family member or whether it be someone you work with or whether it's somebody that you just meet and realize they have a need spiritually. And that fear sometimes prevents us from being a real witness for the Lord Jesus Christ because we're afraid of what they might think. We're afraid of what they might say. We're afraid of what they may, how they may respond. And so it's a resentment that we're afraid of, that we do not want to be rejected. Most of us, most individuals hate that word rejection. We want to be accepted. We want people to accept us, to like us, and we want folks to come after us and to do the things that we ask them to do. And many times when we approach a sinner in an attempt to win them to the Lord, we become very fearful of what they might think and what they might say. So that's one fear that we have to deal with. Another fear is a fear of not knowing how to present the spiritual need that they really have. I know it's easy to go talk to someone, maybe go knock on their door, and you know them, they know you're coming, and you've set it all up, and you know you're going there for the reason and the purpose of telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we're not careful, we have a fear of making that spiritual approach. We can talk about the ball games. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about fishing. We can talk about everything and have a good conversation. But the fear that we have many times in our life is that, how do I change this over from this subject unto the subject that I really want to deal with them about, and that's their spiritual need. And this fear usually comes about because of the conflict in our own heart and sometimes a lack of knowledge, and so we're afraid that we might do something wrong. The third fear is not knowing how to not only approach them spiritually, but how to present the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this ought to be the easiest of all of them because as a believer, as a Christian, we've all met him. We know some things about him. We know the personal work and the ways that he deals with us in our life. But many times in becoming a fisher of men, we are fearful of presenting the Lord Jesus Christ to a world that really, really acts like they have no time and they really don't want to hear the message. And so that's a fear that keeps us from saying and doing. And then fourthly is a fear of not really being able to give an opportunity for them to open the door where they might be able to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord. Those are things that we learn. Those are things that we fear when we go out. But these are things that we can overcome as we become fishers of men. as we become that individual that the Lord can deal with and work in our heart, that we are assured of our scriptures, we are assured of our presentation, we have all that the way it should be in our livelihood with them, and our talk to them. And the more we do it, the better off and the easier it becomes. I'm not saying the fear all leaves, because it's still there. And I think the number one fear is the resentment. I think that's probably one of the things that keeps people from saying too much about the Lord, because they just do not want to be taken and sometimes mocked, made fun, just do not want to do that. But the Lord told these four men here, he said, if you will follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men. It didn't happen overnight in their life. It won't happen overnight in our life. And we can become that because of the work of the Lord in our heart, that we would that we would follow him. Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. What an invitation that the Lord gave to them. He said, you can lay your nets down, you can stop mending your nets, and you can follow me, and no longer will you be fishers of fish, but you'll be men that will go out and look for and search and fish for individuals. These fishermen that were there, they understood full well that word become, because they were probably well trained in the profession that they had, and they were able to get the fish and to catch the fish. But physically speaking, was not something that happened automatically. I hear people talking about going and fishing, and they go different places, they do different things, they have different ways, and they always come back with stories about fish. I can go fishing all the time, and I never have a story other than I didn't get a thing. And the difference is they do it all the time. They do it every day. They are proficient at it, and they have become fishermen. There are folks, there are people that literally fish for a living. And we had a boy here in school one time that he fished all the time. And before he graduated, he won, about an $18,000 bass boat, I think, in his fishing. And he went to the same place as everybody else did, but he beat everybody because he knew how to fish. He had become a fisherman. Same way, spiritually speaking, in our life. We can tell people about the Lord. We'll have those daily hardships. We'll have those problems. We'll have the objections that come from ourselves. And we'll have those areas and issues in our life that want us to draw back. But to become a fisherman, you have to fish. To become the term we use is a soul winner, a presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The way you do that is just do it. The way you learn to drive, you drive. The way you learn to do certain things, you just do it. You do it with mistakes, you do it with problems, but all of those things teach us and train us, and we become proficient in whatever we're dealing with. And so tonight the Lord told these men, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he knew where he was. He knew where they were. They were these men, I believe, as we mentioned last week, I believe these men were believers. They were disciples of John the Baptist, and they were following him, and now they are, as they do that, they're taking care of their life and their livelihood. And so the Lord comes, and he sees Simon, which is Andrew's brother, that's Simon Peter. And he sees them casting a net into the sea. He tells them, come after me, I'll make you to become fishers of men. And straightway, immediately, they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Did they become fishers of men right then? No. They started their journey. They started their walk. They started their working with the Lord. And then they come up and they find James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and the Lord tells them to follow him, and they immediately did that. And so they now are leaving their physical, fleshly job, and they are following the works and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me. Come unto me. Come and do telling people about the Lord. So he told them, he says, you come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I got three reasons or three things why we should be soul winners, or why we should become fishers of men. Number one, and these are very simple, and you can think of them. If I was to tell you to give me three reasons, you probably could come up with these three things. Number one, there is a real hell. Why should we tell somebody about the Lord? Why should we use our time when we could do something else, and everybody's busy, everybody has something to do? Why do we take our time to tell somebody, sometimes even those we don't know very well, why do we tell them about Jesus Christ? Why do we present the Lord unto someone like that? It's because, number one, there is a real hell. We know the Bible teaches us that hell is real and the flames are already lit. I heard someone say one time the fires of hell are not lit yet. Well, Jesus sort of gave us a different story about that because we find in Luke chapter 16 that he died and he went to hell and he said, these flames torment me. Now that's the word of the Lord. That's a story that Jesus gave. And this is a message that the Lord gave. It's a real, real story. So we tell people because hell, and hell is real, and the flames are there. They are eternal. And the flames are forever. They're not going to go out. They're not going to get less. They are lit. And there the souls of wicked men go because of rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get to hell, as we've mentioned so many times, not only is there flames, but there are no friends. They're headed to a place where they may think, well, all my friends are there. My mom and dad are there. And so I want to go there because that's where they are. They don't want you to go there. Just like the rich man, as he lifted up his eyes in hell, he told, he said, send Lazarus that he send him back and let him tell my brothers that they not come to this place of torment. So there's no friends there. And there's no ability to put out the fire. And there is the finality of hell. It's never going to stop. It's never going to end. It's never going to go away. There is no escape. I can understand why a religious person would follow after a religion that says, well, hell is just for a little while. Well, if hell is just for a little while, then maybe that wouldn't be too bad. It's going to stop. But hell is not for a little while. Hell is just as eternal as the Lord is. Hell is just as eternal as Jesus Christ is. And so there's a finality, no escape. There's no second chance. There's no praying out. There's no way of, there's no purgatory in between. The choice is us. It's either heaven or hell. And so we should tell people, we should be concerned about folks, people that we know, especially our families, our friends, people that we know that if they die in the condition they are living right now, we know, now they may not know it, they may not understand, but spiritually we know if they die the way they are, they'll probably go to hell. And so we ought to be a witness, ought to be someone that would tell. We ought to become a fisher of men. John chapter 1, Jesus says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And so we find that we should be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. We should follow him and become a witness or a fisher of men, because number one is hell. Number two, the opposite of that, is because there's a heaven. Not only should they shun hell, but they ought to desire, and we ought to put a longing in their soul of how real heaven is for a prepared people. It is a prepared place for a prepared people. And heaven is there because he has gone to have us a place that where he is there, we shall be also. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Heaven's real. And why would we not tell our family? Why would we not tell our friends? You don't want to go there. You don't want to go to hell. Oh, but let me tell you about heaven. Let me tell you about the other side of the story. Let me tell you that place that's just as real as where we're standing upon this earth. Heaven is real. Heaven has its companions. Heaven has its creator. And of course, we know it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's going to be in heaven? Every saved person of Adam's race. That's the family of God. The Bible says that family of God is named in heaven and in earth. And there are family here, and thank God there's family there. And one of these days when we leave this world, we'll be with our family over on the other side. And so we ought to make our family as broad, and we ought to make our family as large as possible and tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, put down your nets, put down your mending your nets, and just follow me, and I'm going to teach you, I'm going to show you how you can become a real fisher of men. Not of fish, but of men. Heaven's companions. I can't imagine of all the saints that have gone on that we could name tonight. People in our family that one day we'll be reunited with. People that are unknown to anybody else except us, but yet one day we'll be with them. And then there are those folks that the world, at least the religious world, the saved world, there are people that have gone on before us that we know their names, and they're have been people that are of great preachers and great Christians and authors and pastors and missionaries and evangelists, and they've gone on to be with the Lord. That's part of our family, and one of these days we'll be united with those companions. Praise the Lord. And so we tell people, we witness to folks because there is a hell. We witness to folks because there is a heaven. There's a song, a verse, or a poem I want to just read a portion of. And the only way we get to heaven, we know that story, we know that truth, is through Jesus Christ. He and he alone. Only Jesus can calm the restless billows of a darkened heart. Only Jesus can quench the abiding thirst of the spirit of man. Only Jesus can settle the disturbed mind of a condemned sinner. If only man would taste of him, he would find that he is bread to the hungry, water to the thirsty, rest to the weary, refuge to the guilty, honey from the rock. He is the light for darkness. He is the way for the lost. He is the fountain or the foundation for the sinking. He is the righteousness for the vile. He is hope for the doomed. He is answer to the confused. And it goes on and on and on. That's what Jesus is. And so therefore tonight we ought to tell people about the Lord, or tell people about the Lord, because heaven's real and Jesus is there. And he is the one that has taken and given us eternal life. Heaven's companions, those that have gone on, heaven's creator is the Lord Jesus Christ. And heaven is clean. No trash, no burdens, no sorrows, no sins. Our country has gone through a traumatic week. Nationally speaking, been very difficult to think about an individual that seemingly has no reason about why, and goes and just gets in a 32nd or 7th story floor and starts shooting people 500 yards away. Wasn't targeting anybody. He was targeting everybody. You know what he needed? He needed the Lord. He needed to hear about hell. He needed to hear about heaven, and all of hell's, all of earth's trash and scum is in hell. But the only thing that comes to the presence of the Lord is the cleanliness from the Lord Jesus Christ. I think I said Sunday night, a lot of times we get up the next morning just to see who has killed who that night. I got up Monday morning and I said, well, I didn't mean for it to be something like this. I went to bed about 9:30 and this happened at 10:30. I woke up and about 3:30, I looked on my phone and it says two people have been shot in Las Vegas. That's very early. And now it's up to 59. Possibly more, because I think they said 12 is in critical, life-threatening even now. Of all those folks that died, I know our president said today they all went to heaven, but he doesn't know that, nor do I. But they ought to have the opportunity to have heard about heaven. That individual that did that should have had the opportunity for someone to tell him. Oh, he probably wouldn't have heard. There's those fearful thoughts that come in our life. And so we find that we need to tell people about the Lord because of hell and because of heaven. And then we need to tell people, lastly, about the Lord because there is a place called Calvary. There Jesus died. There he gave his life blood. People, the news commentators, and many of them are talking about the first responders and many of those folks as being heroes, and certainly they were. Some put themselves on top of others and they were the one that lost their life and saved someone else. I heard this afternoon about a young man that he went in and I think he brought his wife out and went back in. He thought he put her in a safe place, and when he came back, she was shot where she was laid. You hear about another one that goes back in. He comes out, he brings people out. He goes back in, he goes in for the last time, and he becomes one of the number of 59. We need to tell people about the Lord because of Calvary. Jesus suffered all these things for us. There's a song entitled, Lead Me to Calvary. King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget the crown, a thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thy agony, lest I forget thy voice for me, lead me to Calvary. Thank God one day somebody led me to Calvary. And there at Calvary I met the Lord. May I be a fisher of men. May I become what needs to be to remember the suffering of Calvary, to remember the shame of Calvary, to remember the sinners of Calvary. Oh, but thank God, remember the Savior of Calvary. What he has done, he did for the entire world. Our world is tossed to and fro. Our country is tottering. Really, we're tottering on destruction. We better remember the Lord. We better remember the things of God, because one day it's going to be too late. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's Calvary. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. That's him and that's me, the just and the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. Tonight we ought to tell people about the Lord. There is a hell to shun. There's a heaven to gain. And it's all because of Jesus dying on Calvary. So when the Lord looked at those disciples and he saw them fishing and mending their nets and getting things ready for the next day, he said, "Oh, fellas, if you'll follow me, I'll make you to become fishers of men." That's much more important eternally than fishers of fish. And those disciples, they didn't starve to death. They didn't have the failure of their life. They all died a martyr's death, all because of Calvary. So when Jesus says, "Come, follow me," that's an invitation of commitment. We've had cleansing, and I don't remember the other three or four that we've had, the comfort and all the different ones. This is the invitation for commitment. Just be committed to the Lord and say, "I'll tell everybody I can. I'll use every opportunity that you put before me. And if sometimes need be, I'll make the opportunity my own. And I'll just tell somebody about the Lord." In doing that, we are becoming fishers of men. Let's stand together tonight.